Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Count Out.
That's right. It's the only pro wrestling podcast where we count down stuff.
Are you sure about that?
I have no idea. I mean, it's the only one where we count down stuff. Okay. So that is true.
Yeah.
So here's the deal, everybody. So as you guys, as you friendos out there probably know, every weekend on Saturdays and Sundays, generally, we do these top 10 shows here, these nameless top 10 shows here on the channel. But I can't, there's sort of a couple different reasons why we wanted to approach these type shows in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Ranging from we want more money and all the way to we like conversations more than that. Look, here's the thing about the money thing is that it's well known that on YouTube, if you produce longer content and people watch it more, then you get more money. That's honestly, completely honest with you. Second, like that's like sort of fifth on the priority because we're doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, we're so fine.
I don't really care. And yeah, I don't really think the difference is going to be that much.
No.
But anyways, we want the channel to be what we want it to be.
Yeah, we feel more comfortable these days just talking to each other instead of reading scripts from a teleprompter.
So, okay, so this is how we used to do it. We would, very recently, we hired on our good friend, Stephen Wilds, to do like research and then some writing, and then he'd send us a script. We'd rewrite it sort of in our own cadence, and we put it on a teleprompter, and then we'd read it.
Yeah.
But that's sort of like talking at you. And we really like, what I sort of really realized was like, people really appreciate the conversational aspect of what we do.
Yeah.
And when they flip on one of their podcasts, one of the biggest compliments I always read in the Twitter comments or in the YouTube comments is, it's like listening to a couple of my friends talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I like that it's a conversation that we're having. When we did the top 10 best and worst women wrestlers last weekend, I felt that when we're doing something like the worst of something and we're saying things that are negative, you know, like wrestling, look, there's good in wrestling, there's bad in wrestling. I personally think wrestling is kind of like, you know, the old adage about sex being like pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good. And wrestling, to me, even when it's bad, I still get entertainment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about something being the worst, I feel like there is the need these days for a wider context for us to breathe out our opinions.
Yes.
And have people understand that we're not like, we're talking shit, but it's all in good fun. And I feel like that comes across a bit better
when we're just talking. Yeah.
When we're just talking.
Yes.
Because shit's goofy. And, you know, there are some matches out there that are just crap. Today we're going to talk about The Undertaker.
Yeah.
So the 900th episode of SmackDown's coming out.
Yes, on Tuesday.
That's right. And who's going to be coming back, Larson?
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker. That's right. And so that, of course, might lead to setting up some sort of angle for his
WrestleMania. Yeah, we talked about that on last week's Going In Raw dirt sheet.
Correct.
That there had already been speculation that his WrestleMania angle might start to take shape starting Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, which of course got us thinking,
yeah,
who should he wrestle at WrestleMania and who should he not wrestle?
That's correct. So in this video, we're going to talk about who he should. And then in tomorrow's video, you'll be able to see who he should not.
Correct.
Right. We're going to say this really quick, too. So our good friends over at the Wrestling Amino app, we've worked with them for some paid sponsorships. You saw that in yesterday's dirt sheet. And from now on, we're going to be using that app to solicit your opinions for the various topics. So at the end of tomorrow's episode, we will let you know, and we also said it in the dirt sheet already, but at the end, traditionally now, at the end of each episode, we're going to be soliciting your guys's opinions on next weekend's best worst list show Count Out. It's called Count Out.
Okay.
I'm not using the name, but I already made the logo, so it's got to stay that way.
Well, we haven't used the logo
I've said it. We can't reshoot the intro. It's called Count Out.
That's what it's called.
It's got to be. Nobody's ever said anything different. Anyways, So yeah, here we are. The 10 best opponents for WrestleMania.
For The Undertaker.
For The Undertaker. What if Vince
to enhance
but before we
his
start,
legacy.
Before we start, let's role play.
Okay.
I'm Vince.
Are we going to do this before every episode?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to lock yourselves into role playing every episode. I call Mark Calloway up. I'm Vince.
Okay.
Hey, Taker. How are you doing?
Hold on. Undertaker has an answer to his phone.
He's very slow. I like that you have an actual phone. I got my hand. Listen to me. Listen to me. You're my bitch. Ha, ha, ha. I'm joking, Sparkle Crotch. Who do you want to wrestle at WrestleMania?
That phrase isn't funny, Vince.
Oh, it's hilarious. Who do you want to wrestle at WrestleMania 33?
I have 10 ideas, Vince.
All right. Number 10. Kane. Hold on a second before you say anything.
Storyline-wise, it would make the most sense. What wrestler in The Undertaker's career has he had the most to do with?
Yeah, he's got the biggest sort of story depth.
If you're going to put a cap,
yeah,
end cap on The Undertaker's career, who better to do that with than Kane?
Yeah.
Of course, the downside of which we'll get into some more in tomorrow's video, is that, especially in the recent history of these two, they haven't really put on very many good matches.
Well, yeah, basically the downside is it's Kane. And Kane has had, look, Kane's had an amazing career.
Yes, Hall of Famer.
And first ballot. And we love Glenn Jacobs. But he's not the most exciting choice in the world. But here is the thing about Kane. With the right writing.
I was just about to say, given their history, if they can come up with a good story to motivate the match, it could still be interesting, Kane, regardless of the quality of the match.
Kane turns into a real threat just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that. So I think Kane isn't a terrible idea because of their history. And like you said, the perfect capper to the Undertaker's, you know, this could be his retirement match.
Yeah.
Could be his legacy.
Legacy.
There you go. So I think Kane would be a good choice. What's Kane doing right now? He's mixing it up with
the Wyatts. Yeah.
And there is that. When Undertaker comes back for episode 900 of SmackDown, it stands to reason.
He's going to come to help out Kane.
Exactly. So that's another, you know, that could be sort of the kickoff storyline. Now, do we think that's going to happen?
No.
I don't think it's going to be Kane either.
Unless it's corporate Kane.
That'd be even better. You know who I wanted to be? Politician Kane.
Yeah.
Politician Kane. The Kane from that barbecue picture where he's all sweat and he's at his insurance company party. God, I want to get insurance. I want to move to Knoxville, Tennessee just so I can get insurance from his company.
From Glenn Jacobs Insurance. What's his insurance company called?
Oh, I think it's named after his wife.
Oh, okay.
I think she's sort of technically the head of it. I mean, obviously, the powers of the darkness is what's driving the insurance company there. So, yeah, I don't know. It's great. You guys should look up his insurance company's Facebook. And, like, because they don't advertise it as being, like, you know, Kane's insurance.
But he's in a lot of the pictures.
He's in a lot of the pictures. And he looks just like a really big insurance guy. Like, he's got, like, a polo on.
Weren't they giving out championship belts or something?
Yeah. Well, I saw that in one of the pictures, and I couldn't find that picture.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's great. He might be running for office, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've been saying that for years.
Yeah. Number nine.
Nine.
Baron Corbin.
Now, we're not sure if the injury, the work injury he suffered on SmackDown, is to cover a shoot injury.
Yeah.
And if so, this could take, in theory, Baron out of contention.
Yeah.
But
absence makes the heart grow fonder. So if he did leave, it might actually be better for him.
And also, they've been doing a pretty decent job of late of building Baron up as a contender.
We have a long storied history with Baron Corbin. Because when he was originally NXT and got called up, I was referring to him as the Going In Raw wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Like the official wrestler of Going In Raw, sorry.
Yeah.
But that was sort of like ironic, you know? It was like, it was done in sort of a joking fashion. And I expressed my admiration for Baron Corbin. But again, it was kind of like, I like him because he's not that great. You know, I like him
because tongue was firmly planted in cheek.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Because he did these like sort of promos that sounded like he was talking in slow motion. And he still does. But somehow, some way, the conviction behind his character has really been consistent.
Well, they've given
and
him
it's translated well.
They've given him a more pronounced mean streak.
Yes. And he's gone all in on the I'm doing this for the money thing.
Yeah.
And they let him ragdoll Kalisto endlessly. Like, he's just Kalisto's nightmare.
Or, you know, one of his signature moves now is putting someone over the barricade and ramming his elbow into their head multiple times.
when you let somebody look like they're shoot killing somebody, then it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It makes for a very effective character.
Yeah.
Plus, he has a new shirt.
Yeah.
So I think they're...
Are you going to order that shirt?
I think I am.
Okay.
I think I am. It's a pretty cool look.
It's okay.
Dude, the white ink on black will work every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
But why is Corbin a good matchup for The Undertaker at WrestleMania, no less?
Well, you start. You tell me.
Well, I think in terms of size,
yeah,
it's a good matchup.
Yeah.
It'll be beneficial for Corbin to get in the ring with The Undertaker,
mm-hmm,
because it gives him some positive rub.
Yeah, he'll learn a lot, that's for sure.
Yes.
I like it on the level that Corbin is this guy who, if they approach it in the manner that, like, Corbin is this guy who doesn't, who seemingly wants to cut all the bullshit out of his life. He's there for one reason, money.
Yeah.
He has a job to do, and he likes to beat people up, and thank God. It's like us. We like to talk pro wrestling. Thank God we can get paid to do it.
Yeah.
For him, he likes to beat people up. Thank God he can get paid to do it.
Yes.
And so I like the idea. It would be an interesting contrast for me. A guy who doesn't care about any of the bullshit, which you could theoretically translate to mean theatrics as well.
Yeah.
And The Undertaker is a lot of theatrics.
Yes.
So if Baron tried to boil the Taker down to his very basics, which is a grizzly old man who he wants to put out of his misery.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have an idea. What if the Undertaker... Yes. American Badass.
I know. Undertaker, I thought about that when I was thinking about Corbin.
American Badass Undertaker.
Yeah.
And it's the biker versus biker thing.
That's so bad. But they... I mean, once when you get Taker and his American Badass gimmick, they kind of mirror each other a little bit, you know? Yeah. And so...
They can both ride out to the ring in their motorcycles.
Yeah. Like, side by side, they're kind of awkwardly bumping into each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And both theme musics are playing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That'd be good. No, I could see if they pulled it off, right? I could see, because to me, recently, Taker has been most effective when he's been stripped down of the powers of the dark.
Yeah.
Like, against Lesnar, he was just a grizzly old bastard who wanted to be kind of MMA-ish.
Yeah.
He was doing submission moves. He was, like... He didn't flip anybody off. Lesnar flipped him off. But he was punching people in the dick.
Yeah.
And when I say people, I just mean Lesnar.
Yeah.
And so Corbin's a bully.
Yes.
Taker could try to out-bully him.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Corbin, I think it'd be huge. Obviously, it'd be huge for Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it'd be huge.
I mean, pretty much all these picks for the best list, especially, are falling two camps. Mm-hmm. There's the dream matches,
mm-hmm,
and there are the opportunities for The Undertaker just... by being in the ring with these newer wrestlers, giving them some rub, some exposure, to hopefully elevate them to the next level.
Yeah. Now, this next one I really like, number 8.
Yes.
Big Cass.
Yes.
I like this simply because the idea of a couple of jokesters. We saw this with the New Day and the Wyatt family. Is that the joke can only be funny for so long before you need some, like, real stakes. You need them to get a little bit serious.
Yeah.
And they did that with the Wyatt family in New Day. And so Enzo and Cass need that, like, legitimately terrifying thing to have them pause on the comedy stuff for a bit.
And give their character some added depth.
That's exactly it. Exactly. Yeah. We need to see, like, more dimensions to their character.
And Cass is, I would say, more athletic than Baron Corbin.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so, I mean, granted, he doesn't, you know, neither of them have huge movesets.
Yeah.
But
Corbin moseys about the ring.
I know. Speaking of just in terms of quality of the match, I would give Cass the advantage, I think, just because he seems to be more athletic.
Yeah, I think they'd probably both be stinker matches.
Yeah, they wouldn't be 5-star matches, no.
Yeah. And
they would need interesting stories building up.
Yeah, Corbin brawls a bit more, and I think that would, in my opinion, that would probably play to a better match than whatever Cass would bring to the table. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, either way, you're not going to get a great match. But I would love to see Big Cass and Enzo Amore sort of shit in their pants over the Undertaker.
I think
that'd be good.
Yeah, I think that would be good too.
On the other hand, you kind of risk you kind of risk Big Cat Enzo and his shtick. I don't want to say trivializing the Undertaker.
Belittling
somewhat. Because Enzo's not going to run his mouth that much on Taker. He's not going to disrespect Undertaker. Like it would be stupid for him to like come out and disrespect Undertaker. They would need to take it seriously. But almost like I want to say like Undertaker coming out after Enzo has just cut a promo on him seems like kind of beneath the Undertaker.
It would all depend on what motivated their interactions to begin with.
If the storyline started out with, what if they did this? If the storyline started out with, well, Enzo and Cass are on Raw, but let's just get rid of brands. If the Undertaker, for example, like if his music, like if his entrance interrupted Enzo during one of his promos,
yeah.
If the Undertaker completely annihilated Enzo, like put him out of commission,
yeah,
just to prove a point some way, somehow. Undertaker would have to be the heel in this situation.
Yeah.
And Cass would be the guy who's sort of getting vengeance for his friend.
Yeah.
Avenging his friend. That could be a really emotional storyline right there.
Yeah.
That could be really cool. And then Enzo like wheels out in a wheelchair on the top ramp of WrestleMania or something. You know? I don't know. I'm not booking this shit.
Nope.
Let's see here. Number 7. I like this one. Broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
Delete.
That'd be interesting.
Delete.
Be a lot of fun.
This would be so... It's so beneath The Undertaker, though.
It would definitely be something different for him to do.
This is my only problem with bringing Broken Matt Hardy into the WWE. It's such a cartoony thing that he does.
But if he were to go to WWE, SmackDown would be the logical brand for him,
I know. It would be. This would sort of necessitate a lot of interesting pre-filmed vignettes, and that could play to the Undertaker. You know, that could play for the Undertaker, because if you really like Baron Corbin, you'd have to play down the theatrics.
Yeah,
Broken Matt Hardy feud,
you could
way up,
turn him up to 11,
so high up there, and then you get maybe Jeff Hardy involved.
Yep,
Kane involved.
Yep.
So there's a lot that you could do there.
Well, and the Undertaker and Jeff Hardy have some history. They had some matches.
Yeah, they had some good matches. Yeah.
So I don't know if they could use that as a segue from that history to a current storyline.
Yeah. Again, this might be the kind of thing where if they had brought in Broken Matt Hardy already and he's doing his shtick and he sort of does his Broken Matt Hardy, he does like a Broken Matt Hardy type promo on The Undertaker. And The Undertaker comes out and says, you know, basically accuses him of kind of mocking the gimmick.
Yeah.
Of making light of the powers
of darkness. But also, Matt Hardy could say something like, you know, Undertaker, you haven't really had that much success of late.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your turn to be broken.
Broken.
And you can try to break him.
I just wonder if, I mean, it's funny. Like, I say things like, well, I don't know if The Undertaker, like, I feel like The Undertaker needs more respect, but then I keep on going back to the fact that LeBron James no-sold him at the Cleveland Cavaliers opening game. Like, he literally showed up in costume, and there were pictures. Like, how did he let that happen? People taking pictures of him waiting outside the locker room to come in. Like, nobody makes The Undertaker wait.
Yeah.
And if they do, you don't get a picture of it.
Yeah.
With him chilling with his family. He's all standing there, and it's kind of like just having your dick out, you know? He's, like, standing there in costume. I would have put on at least my Dead Man Inc. outfit, because at least that way you've got like clothes on. He could literally, in Dead Man Inc. outfit, he can go from the locker room to the courtside if that's where he was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like,
because he was sitting courtside at the game.
Yeah,
but he changed.
Hold on, let me take off my wig. No, just be Dead Man Inc. Wear the Dead Man Inc. shirt. It's all faded by now. Think he has any new ones in a box somewhere?
Yeah, I think he does.
Probably has.
Or if he doesn't, he could call the WWE shop and get some printed up.
He's on the website trying to figure out shop.com. I thought I had a coupon code, Taker69. Really, Taker? All right. Next one, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
What better way for Samoa Joe to make an impact on the main roster?
Oh, yeah.
Putting him right into a feud with The Undertaker.
I would love this. And this would play really well into The Undertaker sort of fighting style these days.
Yes.
the MMA thing.
Yes.
Submission matches.
And it would fit well with...
stiff shots.
They could do... Samoa Joe could do some great work in terms of saying, I'm coming in here to make an impact.
Yeah. Impact Wrestling. That's yes. where he's from.
Yeah.
They should make sure that all the TNA guys never say the word impact. They just always say, I'm coming in here to make a statement. I'm coming in here to make an impasse. There's going to be an... So, I think that'd be great. Samoa Joe, he's there to prove a point. And we already know that he could cut a hell of a promo on The Undertaker. He got a hell of a promo.
Samoa Joe's been doing, granted, I'm not that familiar with his TNA work, but it seems like he's doing the best work of his career, at least on the mic, these last 3 months in NXT.
I mean, look, I've seen probably just a little bit more than you have of Samoa Joe in TNA. I'm sure he's great. But what he's doing is fucking transcendent. It's so good. He should not be... like, if he's on NXT's roster past Mania... When's TakeOver Toronto?
The Saturday before Survivor Series.
A
week from the day this airs.
When do you think Samoa Joe's going to debut?
Between then and the Rumble.
It's got to be on SmackDown, right?
I would think so.
What faces does SmackDown have besides Dean Ambrose and James Ellsworth? But SmackDown also has AJ. You think they want to put AJ and Samoa in there together? Given that they're already...
why not?
We've already seen a lot of that.
They'll both be heels.
Yeah.
I mean, when Joe comes to Maine, he's going to be a heel because he's so good
at it. Oh, yeah. He's always going to be a heel.
Because how awesome would it be,
would be perfect.
In our mind, AJ holds the belt till Mania, drops it to Cena. Who does Cena feud with right after Mania?
Yeah.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And bring him in against Taker. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Samoa Joe. But then what is Taker? So Taker's probably not going to be a Survivor Series.
I don't know.
Do we know?
No, we don't know. He's only confirmed for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting if he somehow... I know Shane just replaced Baron, but if Undertaker somehow replaced Shane on the Survivor Series team, that would be interesting.
Shane, let's see here. Number 5. Dun, 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 dun. Angle.
Yeah, another wrestler who has a history with The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
And it would be a great way to bring him back.
I know that. That would be a huge way to bring him back. Again, okay, so we also have to rank. So I forgot to do the other ones. Baron Corbin, what are the chances of him fighting Taker?
10%.
Better chance. Well, who has a better chance of taking on Taker? For what we said so far, Samoa Joe, Matt Hardy, Big Cass, Corbin, Kane. Who's got the best chance of that actually happening?
Kane.
I would say Samoa Joe has the best chance of that happening. Because he's got to come up after TakeOver Toronto.
Shortly thereafter,
what's he going to do?
I don't know.
Taker makes so much sense for Samoa Joe.
I know it does, but it would all depend if this is Undertaker's last match.
Yeah.
If it were his last match, it would make sense, storyline-wise.
I kind of wish we put Samoa Joe number 1 now that I think about it.
Oh, Samoa Joe would be great.
Such a good name. Like, I like that better than... I like him in the top 4, looking at the top 4.
Yeah.
Because number 2 and 1, I don't really want. Well, they should be. It should be 2. These two that are the 2 and 1.
Yeah, it should be 2 and 1.
Should be.
I know.
Okay. Let's see. Kurt Angle's number 5, though. I like Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
A lot. And I like him against Undertaker.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen Kurt Angle actually wrestle lately.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So I don't know how well he can wrestle. I mean, I'm sure he can.
He's always great.
Probably, yeah, he's always amazing. I would love this. I think it'd be great. A couple old guys going at it. I think it'd be fun. What version of The Undertaker do you think we'd get? Old Bastard or Powers of the Darkness?
Probably an amalgam. That's kind of how he's been operating the last few years anyways.
Well, yeah, he hasn't been straight up Dead Man Inc.
And he hasn't been straight up Power of the Darkness either.
Yeah.
He's kind of embodied certain elements of all of his past characters.
Regardless, he's always like longest entrance freaking ever.
How about this?
Yeah.
He comes out wearing the stuff he wore at his debut. Purple gloves.
That'd be horrible. What a terrible idea that would be.
Yeah.
That's why you like it. Like literally the same stuff. There's like moth holes in it. He's like... you guys want to see my balls? Just look down. Because I've got a hole in where my balls are. That's where it is.
You mean his pants?
My pants. That's where his balls are, in his pants. That's what I said. Number 4. I like this. I like this a lot. Finn Balor.
Yeah, there's certain aspects of Finn's demon persona that, you know, have some similarities with
supernatural
with powers of the darkness Undertaker.
What does he say? I've got the power of Balor or something like that. Oh, the Demon King abilities.
Yeah.
His supernatural Demon King abilities.
Yes.
Which you always say, why doesn't he just do that always?
Yeah, he should just do it all the time.
Do it always, Finn.
I mean, does him doing the demon thing come at a cost? Like him personally?
Oh, you mean does it drain his energy levels?
Yeah. Like sap his soul or something like that.
Saps his soul a little bit. You would think there would have to be, because then why doesn't he always be demon?
I know.
Why does he ever do any matches without demon?
I know.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
But maybe that could be explained in this, you know, what if Finn shows up on Raw when Taker's there and Taker says, Balor, like, they go back thousands of years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like their spiritual lord powers of the darkness and shit.
Yeah.
And then we finally get an explanation for what the fuck the powers of the darkness in the WWE universe is. We get an understanding of that. It through via filmed vignettes.
Yes.
Directed by Jeremy Borash and Broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah. This is all good stuff.
This is like, we should be writing
this
down.
All great stuff.
And then presenting it to the correct people.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's like, okay, that's a good idea, guys.
Here's something else we have to consider apart from the odds of whether any of these matches happen.
Yeah.
The odds of any of these people beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Oh, shit. Kane doesn't beat The Undertaker.
Nope. Corbin doesn't. Cass doesn't.
No, he's in the same boat as Corbin.
Hardy doesn't.
Not a chance Broken Matt Hardy does.
Smojo, maybe.
Maybe Smojo. Maybe. Smojo, maybe.
Kurt Angle, nah.
Kurt Angle, no.
Finn Balor, maybe.
But it's Kurt Angle's return match.
I know. Finn Balor, maybe.
Finn Balor, maybe. Finn Balor's up there with Smojo. Maybe. Finn Balor, maybe. Finn
maybe.
Balor. Maybe. Finn
maybe.
Balor. Number three.
AJ
Styles.
It's best wrestler in the business right now.
If anybody can get a great match out of The Undertaker in his current form,
yep,
it's AJ Styles.
Take a look at the Undertaker matches against HBK,
mm-hmm.
two consecutive WrestleManias.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, The Undertaker isn't, you know, quite as athletic as he was then.
Right.
But I think that is a decent benchmark to try to hit.
AJ was able to get some really good matches out of Roman Reigns.
Yes.
And he's crap.
Well, I don't think Reigns is crap.
Crap wrestler. No mercy.
AJ has gotten a good match out of pretty much everybody.
Everybody he wrestles. And I think he would see that as such a big opportunity to take it to the next level.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be so much fun. That'd be really cool. And he's a heel, and that'd go perfect. And it's a dream match. Tell me that's not a dream match. That's a total dream match. Who eats the pin?
AJ can eat a pin.
He can eat a pin.
Yeah.
He ate a pin against Chris Jericho. Of course he can eat one against the freaking Lord of Darkness.
The Phenom. But like storyline-wise.
Where's Scott Steiner on this list? He should be on the best list.
He should be on the worst list. Would the match take place at a Shoney's in Ackworth, Georgia?
I don't see how that's not best. How's that not number one?
That'd but like storyline-wise, how are we... How?
Hold on a second. I got a customer who wants... Hold on. I got a...
No, not Scott Steiner. How storyline wise, how can we get AJ and
hold
Undertaker
on, I like
into
my
the ring
Scott
together?
Steiner. Hold on, Undertaker. I've got somebody trying to dine and dash. I gotta go put him in a Steiner recliner. No, the cops told you not to do that. What's the storyline between who?
AJ and Undertaker.
Well, you do your normal dream match thing.
Where AJ wants the opportunity to prove himself against the best.
He's the best, yeah. But as a heel, so he wants to like show everybody that he's not that.
He's really the face that runs the place.
Yeah, same thing. Same kind of thing he did with Cena.
Yeah,
yeah, same thing. Number two.
Speaking of a dream match,
Sting.
Yeah, this probably won't happen.
But let's see here.
There's two separate conversations. Is ideally would we like to see it?
Yeah.
Realistically, would we want to see it?
Ideally, yes.
Yes.
Ideally, this is top of the charts. This is huge.
Yeah, the only reason it's not number one is because Sting has a bad neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though Sting has said on multiple occasions that he feels fine.
Feels fine.
So long as he doesn't have surgery, in theory, he could wrestle again.
But then, of course,
and he's been pushing for a match against The Undertaker for a while.
There is also the fact that these are two guys, Sting and Undertaker, are two guys who need somebody better than them to kind of carry the match.
I understand that.
They're both, like, not good.
The significance of the match, though, can overshadow a bit.
Would they overbook this like they did?
I don't know how they could overbook it like they did the WrestleMania 31 match. There's not a storyline inherent in the matchup similar to that.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
If this match were a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
Well, you know, Sting was originally supposed to fight Undertaker at 17, I want to say it was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then he said he agreed to it. And then he said, my lawyers got involved, WWE's lawyers got involved, and they wanted a bigger... He said the bottom line was they wanted a bigger commitment out of me than I was able to get.
Oh.
And so it didn't happen. But he was totally penciled in. They had it ready to go. Yeah.
Like he just wanted to do the one match?
Or work part-time. He didn't... It was on the JBL.
Yeah.
And he didn't specify... It might be out there somewhere in Dirt Sheets somewhere. People might have picked it up, but... he just said that it was more of a commitment that I wanted. I mean, you know, WWE, they probably want him full time.
Yeah.
They probably thought they can get him full time and he'd say yes.
Yeah. That's a bummer. I wish they had let him do a part time.
They really do part time. What he wants to do.
They really do part time schedules back then.
No, they didn't. No. Undertaker didn't go part time until what, 2009?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, even after that they didn't. Maybe they did pursue it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Getting that match together.
So I don't know. This would be kind of a crap match. Like, out of all the matches on here, like Sting and Kane are probably not good matches.
But you'd think, and I'd be confident that Sting and The Undertaker would do all they could to put on an interesting match.
Yeah, I know.
They would try.
They would try. Look, I'm not saying they don't get A for effort.
Look what Sting put his body through in his match against Seth Rollins.
No, I know.
Because they wanted to put on a good match.
They get A for effort. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, these guys, there's collectively...
They're over 100 years
they're
old.
They're over 100 years old.
I know.
There's over a century of age there.
But could be a double retirement match.
I think by necessity it would be.
Could be.
I know from Sting's point of view it would be. Sting would get the pin, wouldn't he? Sting loses twice at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Based on the documentary they did on WrestleMania 31, he seemed happy to have the experience.
He was just totally happy to be there. He was like, it took a sledgehammer to bring me down. Like so many other before him.
Yeah.
So Sting, let's review before we get to number one.
Okay.
Sting.
Number two.
AJ. That was number two.
Yeah.
Number three. AJ Styles.
Number three. Number four.
Finn Balor.
Number five.
Kurt Angle.
Number six.
Samoa Joe.
Say it in a Regal voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know. Whenever I say it.
Hold on. I'll say number six again. Number six.
Samoa Joe.
Number seven.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Thank you. Eight.
Big Cass.
Nine.
It just sounds like I say big ass.
Nine.
Baron Corbin.
10.
Guy.
And number one.
John Cena. Da-da-da-da-da. Who doesn't want this match? Probably a lot of people. But who better than John Cena?
Supposedly been in the cards. It would have happened last year if Cena wasn't hurt.
Yeah. John Cena just put on a fantastic match with AJ Styles.
Yeah. John Cena has it in him to put on a great match.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, absolutely. And talk about, look, it's John Cena. He's probably going to be fighting AJ Styles for the title, but what bigger name to send The Undertaker on his way than John Cena?
Yes.
It'd be like a torch passing thing way too late because Cena's like, it's a torch passing for like severe part-time ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's for the title of who gets to come by twice a year.
I'm trying to look to see what the last time they wrestled. Of course, I'm just on Wikipedia, and it makes it seem like it's 2003.
Really? That seems too long ago.
That does.
John Cena versus Undertaker. According to somebody, it said that Vince McMahon is still against the idea of Cena versus Undertaker.
Why would he be against it? That's a money match.
Listen, it's a lot of money. Maybe he wants to spread the money around, though. You know what I mean? Like, Undertaker versus anybody is money, and Cena versus anybody is money.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean?
But, you know, these dream matches are huge money.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree. Let's see here.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah. Doesn't say, but I don't think there's ever been... Like, they've never fought at Mania.
Yeah.
So, there's that. I think this would be legit. This would be who's going to eat the pin here.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Because Cena always wins.
Cena always wins. But then he's been eating pins against AJ Styles.
Yeah, and then, you know, The Undertaker, apart from one time, always wins at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
I think Cena would get the win here. I think a Cena win here would be on par with maybe. Not on par with the streak being broken. It's still pretty big, though.
Well, we talked about, if not last week, a couple weeks ago, if you want to add some heft, some weight to the match.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Have The Undertaker be the champion, right? Or Cena? No, yeah, Undertaker's champ, and it's you know, Cena wins, he gets a belt, but he also retires Undertaker.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. But what if it was? I would think it'd probably be more like Cena wins against AJ at the Rumble, because if you have Taker already with the belt, that means he would have had to have beaten AJ Styles at like Rumble.
Yeah.
And I don't think that seems a little bit less in terms of like, oh my God, this is huge.
No, I know. Well, I mean, granted, they're trying to make all four of the major pay-per-views huge events.
Yeah,
like
deals.
WrestleMania.
So I'm thinking Cena beats AJ at the Rumble.
Gets
his 16th. And then while he's celebrating, dong, you know, Undertaker shows up and he points at his belt or something. You know, he says, I need a new belt. Mine is too small. I had a lot of nachos at that Cavaliers game, and I can't get to the gym. LeBron James wouldn't see me. I had questions about his cardio. Anyways. Yeah, that's our 10. That's John Cena. So number one.
John Cena.
Number two. Woo! I don't know why. Did you just rip that up from Flair?
Kind of.
How was that? Okay. Number three, AJ Styles.
Yeah, number four.
World champion.
Finn Balor,
the Demon King.
Oh, that's good.
Finn Balor.
Five.
You suck, Kurt Angle.
Six.
Samoa Joe.
Seven.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Eight.
Delete. Big ass.
Nine.
Baron Corbin.
Ten.
Nine.
All right, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
If there's anybody else that you would like to see The Undertaker wrestle at WrestleMania 33, let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
And be on the lookout for the video we're going to do right now.
Yeah.
For the people we don't want The Undertaker to wrestle at WrestleMania 33.
We'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Bye.